The Thunderbirds return to limited training. U.S. Airways shareholders give two thumbs up to a merger. And Asiana to sue a San Francisco TV station. This is Aero News for Tuesday, July 16, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Pentagon has loosened restrictions on flying hours for many Air Force units, both in the U.S. and abroad, for training purposes, meaning that units like the Thunderbirds will be able to resume their training schedules through the end of fiscal year 2013. But don't get your hopes up if you had the Thunderbirds on the schedule at your local air show. The Air Force said in a statement on its website that the team will not resume aerial demonstrations previously scheduled for the 2013 calendar year. Because of sequestration, the team canceled participation in air shows and stopped flying in April of this year. USA Today posted a report from the Associated Press that indicates that Congress had authorized the DOD to shift about $7.5 billion from accounts deemed to be, quote-unquote, lower priority, to fund operations considered to be more vital, including training flights for Air Force units. Thunderbird fans in the Las Vegas area should be able to see the red, white, and blue jets take to the sky within the next few days. Shareholders of U.S. Airways Group, Inc., on Friday, approved the merger agreement with AMR Corporation, the parent company of American Airlines, Inc. The merger agreement was approved by the affirmative vote of the holders of a majority of the outstanding shares of U.S. Airways stock, which represented over 99% of the votes cast by U.S. Airways shareholders on the proposal. Of the 132,788,060 shares voted, 132,273,780 shares voted in favor of the proposal, 257,757 shares voted against, and 256,523 abstained. Shareholders also approved other proposals related to the merger. As previously announced, AMR and U.S. Airways agreed to combine to create a new American Airlines. The merger is subject to regulatory approvals, other customary closing conditions, and confirmation of AMR's plan of reorganization by the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York. The companies continue to expect to complete the combination in the third quarter of this year. A San Francisco television station finds itself facing legal action after an anchor read false, racially insensitive names it attributed to the pilots of Flight 214 during a newscast last Friday. The anchor apologized on air immediately following a commercial break. The names were also shown on graphics produced by the station. They included Captain Sum Ting Wong and Wee Tu Lo. The names were presented next to an image of the burned-out fuselage of the airplane. Asiana Airlines said through a spokeswoman that the suit against television station KTVU-TV is intended to, quote, strongly respond to its racially discriminatory report, end quote. The Associated Press reports that the suit will likely be filed in a U.S. court, though a specific jurisdiction was not mentioned. The video of the incident has gone viral on YouTube. As we reported yesterday, the NTSB has issued an apology, indicating that a summer intern had confirmed the names with the station. It was not immediately clear where the false names had originated. Meanwhile, the four pilots have returned to Korea, where the government has opened an investigation into the accident. Cub Crafters has selected Hartzell Engine Technology's new X-Drive starter as standard equipment on the company's upgraded high-performance Carbon Cub SS light sport aircraft. The move is apparently all about saving weight in the LSA category, as the X-Drive is 1.7 pounds lighter than the previous starter. According to Cub Crafters, the 180-horsepower Carbon Cub SS has a power-to-weight ratio of just 1 horsepower to each 7.33 pounds of aircraft weight. That ratio results in the Carbon Cub SS delivering a sea-level climb rate of 2,100 feet per minute. In addition, no other LSA takes off or lands in shorter distances or offers better low-speed maneuvers. Electric airplane company Green Wing International says that it has received what it believes to be a first in aviation worldwide. The German DULV organization, sanctioned by the German government, awarded its official certification February 5th of this year. The company says this is believed to be the first time a national authority has certified an electric airplane. Prior electric aircraft have been motor gliders, and some countries do not require certification for such aircraft. Greenwing is working to put the eSpider into production later this year. Details on pricing and availability will be announced at EAA's Air Venture in Oshkosh. Plans are for the eSpider to be available here in the USA, first as an experimental amateur-built kit, and later as a light sport aircraft when regulations permit electric power. When AeroNews continues, a new spaceport for Florida? At least they're not top 40 countdowns, and so much for positive community action.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, July 16th. I'm Glenn Moyer. An FAA-led environmental impact study to address the potential impacts of constructing and operating a commercial launch complex in the general vicinity of the former citrus community known as Shiloh, Florida, will be performed by an independent consultant in accordance with the FAA's conditions and procedures, the state's Aerospace Development Organization announced on Monday. Space Florida is proposing the construction and operation of the Shiloh Launch Complex on approximately 150 usable acres of undeveloped land, plus an additional 50 acres of buffer area. The proposed property is presently under the control of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration within the boundaries of the Kennedy Space Center. This EIS is the next step in an initiative to establish a commercial spaceport complex jurisdictionally independent from the existing government launch facilities at Cape Canaveral. Similar FAA EIS processes are underway in Texas and Georgia. Astronomers say they have detected the first population of radio burst known to originate from galaxies beyond our Milky Way. The sources of the light burst are unknown, but cataclysmic events, such as the merging or exploding of stars, are likely the triggers. A radio burst is a quick surge of light from a point in the sky, made up of longer wavelengths than the radio portion of the light spectrum. A single radio burst was detected about 6 years ago, but researchers were unclear about whether it came from within or beyond our galaxy. The new radio burst detections, four in total, are from billions of light years away, erasing any doubt that the phenomenon is real. The discovery, described in the July 4th issue of the journal Science, comes from an international team that uses the Parkes Observatory in Australia. Exactly what is triggering the release of the radio waves is unknown. Theories include colliding neutron stars or black holes, evaporating black holes, and stellar explosions called supernova. The new data will not fit nicely with any of these scenarios, however, leaving the scientist, well, perplexed. Despite a resolution from the San Diego City Council and evidence that shows the event actually makes money, the Pentagon is holding firm to its policy that there will be no military flight demonstrations due to sequestration and will not allow such flights at the Miramar Air Show this fall. In a release issued from the base, MCAS Miramar said it was informed that the Department of Defense did not approve the station's request to highlight military flight demonstrations at the 2013 Miramar Air Show. The DOD decision was based on department-wide budget cuts as a result of sequestration. UT San Diego reports that a letter sent to Miramar by Renee C. Bardoff, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Community and Public Outreach, says the Pentagon's policy on military participation in air shows this year has not changed. Officials said the option of canceling the show is now on the table. Miramar, of course, is home to the Navy's Top Gun, but like so many other air shows, sadly, it appears that when it comes to military participation this year, they too will be shooting blanks. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.